Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. We're holding the final line on Nun Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara begins, Boi Minei Rav Kahana Mei Rav. As you recall, for the last day or two, we've been talking about the din of Drusa, Gesundheit. And we had back in our mission daf Mem Beis, that Drusa means that you have a particular type of animal that goes and attacks a kosher animal and then leaves behind, potentially leaves behind venom of some sort, which could be very injurious to the animal. And because of that, the Aloch Lamoish V'Sinai, that there's a din that it's a treifa. Now, exactly which animals are we talking about? So you recall back in the Mishnah said if you're talking about that the victim is a behema daka, then the Rabbi Yehuda explained, then the drusa would be the drusa of a ze'ev. A ze'ev, of course, is a wolf. So a wolf is considered to be strong enough to leave behind venom to go and kill a behema daka, and that's why it has the status of a treifa. You're talking about agasa, a large animal like an ox, like a cow, then it's drusas for ari. Ari, of course, being a lion. And then the Mishnah also spoke about oifois, which is not the discussion at the moment. Now, yesterday, you'll recall, three, 4 lines before the wide lines, we had Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda introduced the inyan of a chatul, chatul being a cat. And Rav Chisda said a chatul, as well as a nemiya. Nemiya is a marten, but our Gemara doesn't talk about nemiya today. It only talks about the chatul. The chatul can also cause a younger, smaller victim to become a drusa, and in particular, Rav Chisda said, the gedoyim utloim. A gedi, of course, is a young kid goat, and a tle means a very young shepsela, a young lamb. Those two can be the subject of a drisa by a chatul. And finally, Rav Chisda said, a chulda. Chulda is a weasel. Weasel, of course, is smaller than a cat. While a weasel cannot damage or cause a drusa to a gedi or a tle, because those are behemoths, but it could cause an oif, a bird, to become a drusa. So that was Rav Chisda's halacha, chatul for gedoyim utloim, chulda for oifes. And now we're going to have a brief discussion about that. Boi minei Rav Kahana mei Rav, top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. And Rav Kahana asks 3 questions to Rav, and on the surface, you'll see from the questions and the answers that there seems to be a contradiction. But the Gemara Mitzvah will resolve all of the contradictions. So he starts off, Rav, Rebbe, Yesh drusa l'chatul or ein drusa l'chatul? Tell me, if a chatul being a cat, can it cause that a behema, a victim, should become a drusa? Amalei, so Rav answered him, Af l'chulda yesh drusa, not only a chatul, but even a chulda which is smaller, meaning the weasel, can also cause a drusa. Then he asked question number 2. Tell me, yesh drusa l'chulda oy ein drusa l'chulda? Is there a drusa v'chulda? Even though Rav just said a moment ago that chulda yesh drusa, but Rav Kahana asked, is there a drusa by chulda? Omalei af l'chatul ein drusa. Not only a chulda doesn't have drusa, but even the chatul doesn't have drusa. That's just the opposite of what we said a moment ago. Don't be nervous. Question number 3. L'chatul ul'chulda, yesh lehem drusa, ein lehem drusa. Is there din of a drusa by a chatul and by a chulda? And now Rav says, I'm going to make a compromise. Omale l'chatul, yesh drusa, l'chulda, ein drusa. Chatul, yes, and chulda, not. On the surface, it sounds so perplexing because he's contradicting himself. On the very first question he asked, is there drusa of a chatul? He says, not only is there chatul, but even a chulda. So therefore, both chulda and chatul can cause a drusa. The second question was, can a chulda do it? He's wondering, what are you asking about a chulda? Even a chatul can do drusa. And then certainly a chulda can do drusa. In other words, first teretz was both can, second teretz was both cannot. And then the third time he says, Yovi ha-kosev ha-shlishi v'yachriya b'neyam chatul yesh drusa, but the chulda ain't drusa. What's going on over here? It's mind-boggling. Because it all depends on who the victim is. We've only been talking about the perpetrator, the predator, being the chatul or the chulda. But what about the victim? The first time when he said not only a chatul, but even a chulda, it's talking about ba'oifoyz. It's talking about birds. Because remember, what did Rav Chisda say? That even though a chulda cannot make a drusa by behemoths, but a chulda can make a drusa by oifoyz. Now, if a chulda can make a drusa by oifoyz, is the chavade chatul, which is a larger predator, can certainly go and make a drusa by oifoyz. So that was teretz number one. The teretz number two, hodi omalei af lechatul, ein drusa, is talking about imri varavi. That means large animals. What means large animal? Not a behema gasa. It means a behema daka, that's an older behema daka. What do you mean an older behema daka? So, just taking a quick look at the Rashi of yesterday, remember when Rav Chizda said that chatul can cause a drusa begidoyim utloyim, Rashi is about 10 lines before the wide lines of yesterday. What was the Rashi? Gedoyim utloyim. Dakim shebedaka. Klein shigel. Small, young, a gediz, a chadgadja, is a kid goat, and a tle means a very young shepsela. Both of them less than a year old, and therefore less than a year old, they're still small, young victims, a chatul can make them into a drusa. But continues Rashi, umayder af chizze be'elem v'recheilem, kimas nizen, elem v'recheilem, oh no, no, no. A chatul cannot cause a drusa by elem v'recheilem. An ayil, as you know, means more than a year old. Everybody's going to correct me. It's not a year. It's more than 13 because the 13th month is a palgis, pilgus. Fine. Rechelim is the female equivalent. Anyway, the point is that even Rav Chizda that said yesterday that a chatul can cause a drusa only by small gedoyim etloim. So the same thing. Rav is repeating the same shtickel Torah. That he said that af lechatul ein drusa. It's talking about imri ravi. The word imri means tsemer, which means a sheep or a lamb. But we're not talking about baby lambs, we're talking about grown lambs. Oh, see, Rav Chizda and Rav both agree. Ein drusa b'imri ravi. Now that third question, hodi omalei lechatul yesh drusa lechulda ein drusa, it's talking about gidoyim utloyim. The very case that Rav Chizda was talking about. Lagabi Rav Chizda, what did he say? Gidoyim utloyim, these young baby kid goats and young sheep, young lambs, chatul yesh drusa. He said that beferish. Drusa is chatul and a moya be gidoyim utloyim. What about chulda? No. Chulda is only ba'oifoyz. Chulda ein drusa be gidoyim utloyim. So now, all of the three questions and answers, or at least all the three answers, are halachically consistent. It depends on the size and the nature of the victim. So both the chatul and the chulda cannot go and damage imri ravavi. Both of them can damage small oifis. Where is there a difference between the chatul and the chulda? That's when you're talking about these young goats or young sheep, where they're the chatul does have the power and ability to form a drusa, but the chulda cannot. Now we leave the inyan of behemoths for a moment, and now we go on to oifis. Boy Rav Ashi, shar oifis tameim, yesh lehen drusa or ein lehen drusa. Now what is the case of the oifis tameim? So back in our Mishnah, the Mishnah selected two in particular. One was a netz on younger birds, and one was a gas on older birds. Now the question is, what's the definition of a netz or a gas? So the art scroll says a netz is a sparrow hawk, while a gas is a large hawk. Apparently a sparrow hawk is a younger, smaller version of the hawk, and the gas is a larger version. Okay, so that's very good. That's what it says in the Mishnah. But what about shar oifis tamein? Yesh len drusa, ein len drusa. The Gemara doesn't even ask about oifis tahoirin, because that's by definition, no kosher bird is a predator or a vulture of that type. But oifis tamein you can have. The question is, what about other types, shar oifis? Omle Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, ki avinim be Rav Kahana, when we were learning in the Bismedish of Kahana, Omar, he said, shar oifis tamein yesh len drusa. Yes, he said, they in fact do have a din of drusa, even by others, other than the nets and the gas. Right, we went on to that, but it didn't say in our Mishnah, Udrusas Hanetz Ba'oif Hadak, as well as Udrusas Hagas Ba'oif Hagas, meaning L'choyra only those two and nothing else. And Gemara, no, you're making a mistake. And Gemara gives two answers. Both the answers are similar, but they're different. First, Eretz is Drusas Hanetz B'dekavosei, the Einoch B'dezutra Minayah. The reason why the Mishnah chaps on the nets, and parenthetically also the gas, because both of those are really strong predators, and therefore each one of them can not only damage a younger, smaller victim, but even the kavose, even the same size, so to speak. The nets has a colleague, a peer on the same size, but the nets being the violent oif tome that is a predator, and the victim is the same size as the nets can unfortunately cause a drusa halacha to its kavasi, to its peer. Those others, meaning any other oifis tomeis, which are not mentioned in the Mishnah, they can only be predators and cause a drusa, but zutra minayu, by birds which are smaller victims. They don't start up with people of the same size. They dafka start up with, not people, but oif is the same size, but dafka, younger, smaller birds. Oh, there they can be the predator, etc. The Ikari Ami, there's another version, similar but different. Drusas Hanetz, with the Rabbi Minei. The nets is so strong, this sparrow hawk, that it even starts up with and can cause a drusa, even with birds which are larger and bigger than the nets. The Einach, but those other oifis tamei, no, they could have asayu, you only those that are the same age, same size, same volume, etc., but not those that are larger.
Can a sparrow hawk be doraced a small behemoth?
No, only oifis.
Only
oifis.
How come doesn't mention eagle? Okay. That's a falcon.
The question is, what are the real definitions? We told you the sparrow hawk and the hawk. The question is, you're asking about an eagle. So it's interesting, because what you're really talking about is a toisis and daf samach gimel. And if you look at samach gimel, we're now, of course, a nun gimel. If you go ahead, 10 blot, Rashi, you have a toisis, the last toisis on the Omer Aleph. Are you with us, Rabbi? Nun Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, which is 63a. No problem. I know. Art school, you have to go and turn about 85 pages. Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, it's the final Toises. And Toises there is also wondering what are the definitions or the identification of the various oifes, nets. Pirish Bekuntris, that's the Aspirver, which presumably is some sort of sparrowhawk. The Efshalomik, that cannot be. To a netzu meet, or I'm sorry, netzu meyud tes oifois, the einen dorsen, kidaparashil el, it's one of the 19 oifis which are not doiris. The chazin le dashpirver, doris, that it is doiris. Bein the pirisha kuntis, bein the pirisha minita. Okay, now go on to the next line. Ukamoikein toyin gabe nesher shekoirin eagle. People say that the nesher means the eagle.
Nesher.
Yeah. The nesher is an eagle. Now notice we didn't have the nesher in our Mishnah. We had the nets in our Mishnah, and we had the gas. Achveisnish. But your question about the eagle, you see, Toises addresses Kamoi King Toyin Gabi Nesher Shekoyin Eagle. They say that the nesher is an eagle. V'ayno elpsenish dozai. The nesher yeshli dalit simonim tuma. The eagle yeshli etzba yaseira, and therefore it does not fit within the pattern of what we call an eagle. So we're going to have to discuss further about the nets and the eagle in Yat Hashem when we get to Daf Samach Gimel, but you see that your question, the Gabi Eagle, is raised by the Toises here on Samach Gimel. So getting back to our Gemara now, and now we go on to the case of a Shu'ol. Shu'ol is a fox, not to be confused with a Ze'ev, which is a wolf. Back in our Mishnah, we already said there's a Drusas HaZe'ev, and now we're going to talk about Shu'ol. We all know Shu'ol from the Chorm Beis Hamikdash, Shu'olim Holchubai, where you used to have the Kahanim doing the Avoida. Unfortunately, now you have the Sho'olim, you have the foxes. Om Rav Kahanim Ishmei de Rav Simi Barashi. Ein drusa l'shu'ol. A shu'ol cannot cause a drusa. Meaning that if a shu'ol were to go and grab a victim and put its paws in, put its claws in, there's no halacha of drusa, no halacha of treifa. Is that true? When Rav Dimi came, he said, there was a story of a shul, that was doiris, grabbed hold of a rochel. Rochel means a female sheep or lamb, which is called in English a ewe, E-W-E. Okay, so a shul went and grabbed it. In the merchitz of merchitz and beis hini, the name of a place, and they asked, what's the din? The omen, they said, yesh drusa. Oh, so you see that in fact a shul does have a din of drusa. What did Rav Kahana, Mishmei, Rav Zimmer, Rashi say? Ain't drusa. But we see from the story of beis hini that yesh drusa. It's a chakash. Rav Safra, achich chatul hava. The story you said was perfect, but one small mistake. It wasn't the shul that did the drusa, or did the drisa. It was a chatul. It was a cat. A cat we already had that can go and do a drisa, but not a shul. According to the steretz, you have to go and explain that although the Gemara referred to a rochel, it had to be a young rochel, because otherwise it would go contrary to what we said at the top and contrary to Rav Chisda. Unless, of course, there's a machloikis. Because we said a chatul can only attack and cause a drusa by small gidoyim utloim. And an ayil and rochel are larger. These are imri ravravi. So therefore a chatul could not cause damage to them. So you have to say that although the Gemara doesn't address it specifically, that that's the kavona. That number one, it was not a shul, it was a chatul. And it wasn't a big rochel, it was a klein shiga, a rochelah. Okay, so shemenish kakasha. We're not talking that that story in Beit Hini was not with a shul. Ikri amri, we have another version which is just 180 degrees faket. Omer of Kahana Mishmei Rav Simi Bar Ashi. The first lashon we said ein drusa l'shul, and now this lashon says yesh drusa l'shul, and now the kash from Beis Hini is also just the opposite. Ein ivaki also Rav Dimi Yomer Maaseh v'dara shul rochel b'merchitz Beis Hini b'maaseh v'necham yamru ein drusa. Just the opposite, right? The first lashon was that Rav Simi Bar Ashi said ein drusa, and Beis Hini they paskin yesh drusa, so they had to say now it wasn't talking about a shul, was talking about a chatu. Ikadiyami, the second version, just the opposite, where Rav Simi Bar Ashi is quoted to say yesh drusa l'shul, and in Beis Hini we said there was ein drusa. On Rav Safra, ahu kelev hava, it wasn't a shul, it wasn't a chatu, it was a kelev. So what he says, so what's the din by a kelev? Rav Yosef Naktinan, we have a Kabbalah, Ein Drusa v'Kelev, the halacha of Drusa does not apply to Kelev. It only applies to Ze'ev. In the Gemara, we added also the Chatul, but not to a Kelev. Kelev, you do not have a din of Drusa.
What's the difference between Ze'ev?
What's about the bite?
What about a bite?
We're going to
talk about a bite a little bit further down. The Gemara is going to say shortly that the din, remember, all of these halachas we said are halacha l'moishim Sinai, and the din of drusa is only with the claws, but not with the teeth. Where? How do I know that? That's going to be later on the Amud Aleph. You'll see another 10, 15 lines in Mietzashem. You had a question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Zukit. Right. Omer Abay. Naktinan ein drusa ela biyad. The drusa is only biyad. Lafuki regel deloy. What does that mean? Ein drusa ela biyad. All animals, or all normal animals, have four legs, and therefore, ein drusa ela biyad, it can only cause drusa if it takes its four legs, that's the front legs, and goes and puts its claws, its paws, into a victim. Oh, then it can go and cause a drusa, lafuki regadolet, but not if it's using one of its back legs. If one of the back legs went and attacked and clawed another animal, no din of drusa.
Only the front?
Only the front legs and not the back legs. And furthermore, and now this is Rabbi's question. I thought it was further down, but it's right here. Ein drusa ela b'tzipoyrin. The whole halacha of drusa only refers to clawing another animal. If you have your chatul, you have your ze'ev, you have your ari, putting their claws in, then you got a problem. But if it took a bite, no issue, no din of drusa. Ein drusa ela midas. It's got to be that the animal intentionally did it. Lafuki shaloi midas deloi. Now you're saying, why would an animal do a drisa unintentionally? So Rashi says, it's talking about, for instance, what happens if you have a lion or a ze'ev on the roof, and then accidentally it fell down, or someone pushed it down off the roof. and then it fell down onto another animal down below, and the animal that fell down put its claws in that animal down below. Not intentionally, it just fell down Nebuch on top of that victim. Oh, so this was totally unintentional. No din of drusa. No chazach. Ein drusa ele mechayim. A drusa is only if the animal is alive. Lafuka li'achamisa deloy. That comes to exclude if the animal is already dead. Now you're wondering, how could a dead animal go and cause a drusa? So, says Rashi, according to the Havamina, we're talking about, for instance, an ari, a lion. Let's say again it was on the roof, and the eye and the lion died on the roof. How did it die? Somebody shot it, because it's a, nobody likes to have a lion running around on their roof or on their property. So shot the ari fell down off the roof, toita height, meaning it was already dead, and it fell onto a victim down below, and the claws went into that victim. It does not have a din drusa. Now the Choyra, one second, asked the Gemara, I don't even know why it was necessary to tell us this Allah alafuk ilamar achamisa duloi. Amri, hash the shaloi midas amris loi. The previous case was the identical case that an animal, a predator, like an ari, a zev, a chatul, fell off the roof. First case was it was unintentional. No, doesn't make drusa. Second case is the animal is dead. Ein lecha unintentional gedoyle mizu, that the animal is dead. Obviously it didn't have any kavana to go and cause a drusa. And you're telling me that it's not a drusa. And of course, in it. Ma de chashish le midas amit loy, li achamisa mi bo. Yeah! Efti mo loy tzuricha. The pshat in the drusa li achamis is different than what we thought. Rather, it's talking about the doris, upaskua li yodei. The animal, for instance, the ari, the ze'ev, clawed the victim, put the claws into the victim, and let's say the owner of the victim went and took quickly a meat cleaver and cut off the hands of that ari or that ze'ev, and left the hands behind there inside the victim, and schlepped away the ze'ev or ari and killed it or whatever. Now the question is, okay, so then the animal was certainly with all of its koiches when it put its hands in, so the choyer should be a din of drusa. Mao the same of ahani de doris shari zire. When does it emit and throw in its venom? Only when it's at the time of the drusa, when it puts the claws in, that the venom leaves the claws and enters into the victim. Kamash malon. It's not at the outset, it's only at the tail end. Ah, so now I understand what the Brice is saying. Or not the Brice, Omar of Yosef. Oh, it's Omar Abaye. What did Abaye say? Abaye said a whole bunch of halachas. The last halacha was that it's only mechaim and not la'achar misa. We're not talking about that the behemoth is dead. We're talking about that the claws are dead. How is the claws dead? Because the animal put its claws in when it was still alive. You now severed the claws from the rest of the animal. So the claws are in there, so you think, okay, well, the animal put its claws in when it emitted the venom at that time, so the animal should be a drusa. Kamashula, no. When it puts its hands in, hunish. It's only when it withdraws its claws, that's when it leaves behind the venom. Since it never withdrew its claws, the claws stay there. No venom and no din of drusa. Yes, Rabbi.
As far as we know, only the snake is the one that ingests its venom. The
That's
problem
correct.
Is the other animals is the bacteria
that, is
that
correct.
They have in their claws.
That's
now,
correct.
If they have bacteria in their claws, then the hezek happens b'shas maise.
Mm-hmm.
Not at the end, but l'chatchile, soon as he puts his claws into the victim, automatically the bacteria is active. It's there. It's not at the end. By a snake, you know, he ingests venom. And whether in the beginning or in the end, I don't know. But the snake would have theoretically the capacity to inject venom at the end.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. That's the chiddush of Abaye. That's all kadaita chamina, as the animal puts its paws and its claws in, then on the spot, the bacteria leaves the claws and it goes into the victim. So it's like, no. It's only when it retracts and withdraws its claws, at that point, then it leaves behind the bacteria underneath the claws, in the claws, whatever. But as long as it just put its hands in, it still has the bacteria still in its fingernail, so to speak. It hasn't come out yet, it's still there. So you, the owner, after you've cut off those hands, all you have to do is slice a piece of skin from the animal together with those claws and take them and throw them out, because the bacteria didn't have a chance to leave the claws yet and enter into the animals. Amrav Avuna Amrav. Ari Shenichlus Bein Hashvar. You find an Ari, a lion, that went into a corral with a whole bunch of Shvar, bunch of oxen. And the Nimtzin Tziporim Begav Shalecha Mehen. After a while, you come and you take a census of all of your animals, and you find that one of your Shvarim has in it a single claw, or a single claw nail, if there is such a thing, in the back of one of the victims of one of these shvar. So now you say to yourself, that must be the one that was the victim of the Ari, and the Ari put its claws in, and that's why I find it Tzipor in there. Says Rav, no, ein choshishin shem Ari dorsa. You don't have to worry. Why don't you have to worry? I found I found one claw, one nail inside the animal. How did it get there? I didn't put it there. Says Rav, I'll explain why. My time. Roiv aroyois dorsin. Most lions, unfortunately, are violent animals, violent beasts, and they do drusa. Miutanein dorsin, but there's a minority that don't. V'chol adoyreis ain't ziporin nishmetzes. Under normal circumstances, if this animal is full of koichos, that it's going and putting its claws into a victim, then normally, under normal circumstances, the tziporin doesn't get dislodged from the predator, from the Ari, and stay there in the back of the shvarim. Usually it withdraws its paws, just like it put it in. The Zen, this one, hoil the tziporin yeshev is loy begaboy. How did the tziporin get there? It's not likely that it came from the Ari. Therefore, eimer bekoisel nischachech. Rather, what I'm going to suggest is that perhaps this lion had previously went and it was scratching itself because it had an itch and asked a few people, please go and scratch me in the back. But the people said, I'm not starting off with a lion, and they ran away. So who was going to go and scratch the back of the lion? So it scratched itself against the wall. And as doing so, it left behind one of its paws. And after that, the Shvarim similarly wanted to go and scratch its back. And by the Shor, almost miraculously, went and scratched his back on the same place where the Ari had left his paws behind an hour ago, or a day ago, or whenever. And that paws, that claw that came from the original Ari, now settled in the back of the Shor. Since it wasn't done intentionally, as we said before, so ain choshish ledrusa, you don't have to worry about it.
If Mavrov Arayos are Dorsin, then and the Ari was
in the Ari. We're not done. Sreitim other Rabba, why, Rav, do you go and take that perspective? Let's say just the opposite. Roiv Shvarim Mischachin. Most Shvarim, from time to time, they have to go and scratch themselves on the back. Umiutan ain't Mischachin, but a minority don't have. Uchala Mischachich ain't Tziporin Yoshev Vesleib Gaboy. Normally, after your shor went and scratched itself, when's the last time you saw that your shor scratched itself and you find it tziporin? One in a million. I'm sorry?
He doesn't have to.
Yeah, no, we're talking about that there's a tziporin in its back, and therefore it had to come from somewhere. It's not its own. So the question is, did it come from an Ari, or did it come from the wall against which both of them are using for scratching themselves? V'chol meschachech ein tziporin yeshev esloi begaboy. It's at least the possibilities at least as strong, if not better, that you didn't have a claw coming from the wall and going on its back, but rather that it came from the Ari and came on its back. Isn't that at least the same degree of possibility? So why do you just go and throw this out hand and say, Rav, and that's good, it's fine? Shouldn't you be concerned? You're right. It's if it's a toss-up, since we said Roiva Roiv Satoris Mutan Ain Doris in Mahatoidis ain't Sipan in Shmetis. And then we said Roiv Shwarim is Khachim Mutan Aim is Khachim Khumas Khachim ain't Sipar in Yoshivis life. So the bottom line is how did the Tsiparin get there? So let's say it's 50-50. Maybe it's 60-40, maybe it's 40-60. There's a possibility that the Ari put it in, or it could be that it got it from the war. Therefore, Iklame Mahachi, Uki Milza Chazoke. We're going to go and put the animal on its chazaka, meaning that until now it was a gezunta animal and it didn't have a din of a trefa. So havali sofik drusa, it only has a din of a sofik drusa, chveis finish. Rav v'tami di'amar ein choshen l'sofik drusa. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel whether we're choshish l'sofik drusa or not. And Rav says, I'm not worried about sofik drusa. Why not? Because a chazaka on an animal that it's not a drusa. You want to go and tell me that it's a trefa because it's a drusa? You prove it. Unless you can prove it, I hold ein choshish. Amar Abaye, lo yamar el tziporin, avol makom tziporin choshishin. When we're talking about a tziporin, that we find a tziporin on the back of the animal, and we're wondering where did this come from, said Rav, ein choshishin l'sofik drusa. 50-50. That, says Abaye, is only if you find a tziporin. Now, what the Gemara is going to tell us is what we would say counterintuitive. That what happens if you don't find a tzipoyin, but you find a mokim tzipoyin? What means a mokim tzipoyin? You go and you see the wound. Rashi says you see makoima umakosa nikeres bishar. You look at the back of the shar, until now it was nice and smooth, and all of a sudden you see a bunch of claw marks on the back of the shar, and you say, ay, yay, 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 how did that happen? Then choishin. Then I'm choishin that it didn't come from the wall. Metatzipoyin, metamasa. That this was the real McCoy that the Ari put its hand in, its paws, its claws, took it out and left behind the venom behind it. So kimor betzipoyin nami lo yamar. Even when you do find that tzipoyin, where you're saying that I'm not choishish for the tzipoyin according to Rav, because Rav holds ain choishin l'safi tusa lo yamar el lacha. That's only if this tzipoyin is fresh. Rashi says fresh means that there is dam on the tzipoyin, which is lodged in the back of the animal. Avivoyevesha, if the tzipoyin is already is old, avda de mishtamta, then it's more likely that in fact it fell out of the paws or the claws of the animal. In other words, if you find that this you the Ari was originally there, you come back a half an hour later and you see there a bunch of shvarim, one of which has one claw on its back. If it happens to be fresh, the Gemara says, could be he got it from the wall and didn't get it from the Ari. However, if it's old of the Nishtamta, then it's much more likely that one of the claws fell out of the hand of the paws of this animal. Why? Because since it's already an old nail can mishtamta, it can fall out, slip out from its claws, and it went into the animal, and then you have to be worried about a drusa. Balacha nami liyamoran, and even when we said that lacha, you don't have to be concerned, elechoda, if you only find one nail, one claw altogether. Avatar to you at last, if you find two or three claws, nails from the animal, then chayshinan, then you have to be choishish, then in fact this is not a masa but a wall, this is a masa that the predator put its claws in the back of the animal. But it's only when the nails that you find behind are all in the normal order that you would find it on an animal's hand. Meaning if you find one claw towards the top and one on the bottom and one in the middle, nish. If you find two, three together in one spot, oh, it's a simon that this animal was clawed. And in fact, you do have to worry about the din of drusa. Yes?
It said, Rova Arayos Dorsin. Mm-hmm. We know there was an Ari among the Shvarim.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go after the Rova and say, and not just say this animal was Doris? I mean, any animal that shows any evidence of damage, mm-hmm. we should be suspect that it's a trefa.
We talk about they call the animals. Like,
And so when we find one, we check well, then we find one that has evidence of Jerusa, mm-hmm. why can we say, oh, it came from the wall?
What was the evidence that you found? Did you find claw marks or actual claw nails in the back? Or did you just find one? What were the circumstances?
Rob's saying that it doesn't matter. We're not choshesh for it.
If there's only one tzipoyer. Why only one tziporin? Because the likelihood of the animal emitting and leaving behind the tziporin is so remote. Why? Because if it had so much koiches to go and grab is, and be doitis, then presumably all of its fingers and all of its nails.
The fact that there's only one undermines the probability.
And that's why he says if there are two or three, then yes, that has to be koiches.
You have to check it quickly because there are too many clauses. It's a run on.
Too many clauses to run.
Yeah. It's a sanity clause.
Yes, sir.
So the animal is outside, right?
Right.
Another month later, you check and you see clothes marked, they're already dry, they're already, you know.
Yeah.
There's no any siman of the, how do you call it, of the nail, anything.
Right, but you do see marks.
You see just the marks.
So what are the marks? That means that is, you don't see a nail, but you go and see the marks that he put in. Okay.
You see just the mark, it's dry already.
Right, 100%. So already a month later.
Mm-hmm. A month later.
Right.
So. Now, is it kosher or not kosher?
Okay, so if in fact it happens very, very closely after the fact, and you find three or four holes, then you have to be choishish ledrusa, for sure. If it's a month later, you don't know what happened in the last month. During the last month, this animal could have been dancing with a female companion, and the other one put the claws in its back, and it wasn't as a result of an ari. In other words, you have to be able to go and attribute it to the ari to be able to say it's a drusa, at least a savidrusa. After 30 days, who knows what happened? Maybe it wasn't a NRE. Maybe it was a kelev. We said before, a kelev doesn't create the drusa. You have to know for a fact that it was an NRE. Itmar, Rav Omar in choishes sofik drusa. So that's the same Rav we had a moment ago. Shmuel Omar choishes sofik drusa. In fact, it's a machloikis. So now we're going to take this machloikis and we're going to limit it very, very carefully. How are we going to limit it? We're going to say that five or six or seven cases, everybody agrees, nishka drusa. So the Gemara starts off. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees. Sofik ol, sofik loy ol. I know that there happens to be a corral here of Shvarim, and I saw that there was a lion that was eyeing them from the outside, but I don't know whether the lion actually entered into the corral. Maybe the lion went right back to its own lion's den, and it didn't go to the corral of the Shvarim. I don't know. So then aim loy ol. Then, like a svek sveka. What's a svek sveka? Number one, maybe it didn't even enter into the corral in the first place. And even if it entered into the corral, maybe it didn't cause any damage. Maybe it didn't do any drusa. This animal, this ari, may have had a huge, huge meal recently, and it's not hungry, and it didn't start up with anybody. Same aloy all. Then I toilu lahaka gudisht. Safik alba, safik shunra. If I saw that there was a predator that grabbed and put its paws, claws, into a victim, but I don't know whether it was a cat or a dog. So, says Imar, a makalba. Since I don't know, I will assume lohokel. I'm going to go buster cheskes chai, that this animal was not a drusa until now, and I'm going to assume that it was a kalba, not a shunra. And remember, we said that the kalba does not have the din of drusa. Dog timor, a makalba, oh. Shosik the ace of benayim. What happens if you come by and you see this idyllic, almost miraculous situation where you see there 20, 30, 40 cows, and you see in the middle you have the lion, and the lion and the cows are all singing together, Hashiveinu, or Tertus Hashem Tamima, or Yibane HaMikdash, whatever, they're all sitting nicely together. Hey, Mishal Mishavi, maybe they worked out a peace treaty. Of course, it may still take another 60 days, and who knows what happens in between, but at least there's a ceasefire.
Maybe Mashiach came in.
Exactly. Isaiah, exactly. From Mishaiah.
They'll tell him to move.
Anyway, but this is all true. But we're not lying here. Right? Shirley, this is true. We're not lying.
No, not lying.
Exactly, not lying. So it was a lion among all of the Shvarim. Are you sure? Yeah, there were a whole bunch of Shvarim. So a whole bunch of Shvarim together with a lion.
Sure.
And Baruch Hashem for sure. And they're not arguing, they're not screaming. So Shalom HaShavi. So everybody would agree once again, you're not Choshish Lidrusim. Kata Reish Dechad Minayu. What happens if, unfortunately, it's not Shalom? Our adversaries, they say, peace, peace, peace. And what they really mean is they want to take a piece. And what do? This Ari decapitated the head of one of the Shvarim. Wow, that's terrible. Do I have to worry about any of the others? No, nochmi rischei. I'm going to assume that this lion was really angry, really upset, but now it's satisfied its fury and its anger by cutting off one head. You don't have to worry about any of the others. iu kamoohi, the inu kamekarkara. What happens if they're all making noise? The lion is roaring, and these cows are mooing. Now you're wondering, what is the difference between mo'ohi and kamekarkara? So the last Rashi tells us that in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, every animal makes its own individual sound, and each sound has a different name to it. Lahavdil, as you know, in English, all the kids, when they have these games, they push a button. What does the cat say? Meow. What does the cow say? Moo. And what does the lion say? Roars, etc. So you have Lahavdil, the same thing, the last Rashi here. Mo'ohi, this is the talking about the lion, Noihem, it roars. Mekarkran goyois. Goyois means that they are screaming or shouting. The Loshin Tzakas Ari Lechud. For Loshin Tzakas Kol Behem Lechud. Each animal has its own expression in Hebrew. Kimoi Beloshin Ivris. In other words, in Loshin Kodesh. Noihem La'ari. Goya Lishor. Those are the two Lishorins we just had now. Aroi Gli'ayil. Tzahal Lesus. Tzahalas Susim. Tziftzuf La'oifis. The chirping. V'charatz La'kelev. And the kelev is barking. So each one of them has their own separate sounds, and that's why the Gemara says Mo'oyi the Gabi the lion and Mekarkran the Gabi the Shwar. But it all means that they're all screaming at each other. Says the Gemara, again, you do not have to worry about Sufik Drusa. Why? Because Bu'usi Kamnivasi Adadi. They're just trying to intimidate each other. So the lion is screaming at them, and they're screaming at the lion, and it's basically a stalemate. Again, you don't have to worry. So, although Rav and Shmuel have a machlokes, choshen l'drusa, choshen l'safik drusa, ein choshen, in all of those 5-6 cases, they're all b'sholim, like the lion and the shvarim, Rav and Shmuel, l'havdol, b'sholim, no machlokes. So where's the other machlokes? He pleaded the iu kashasik, v'inu kamekarkran, that the lion is among, in the corral, among all the shvarim, and he's silent. And all the others are screaming at the top of their lungs. The reason why they're screaming is because they're saying, call the Chevra Kadisha, because unfortunately the Ari has already caused damage and caused trouble. So bring the Chaveirim, or bring Hatzalah, or bring Chevra Kadisha, he's already done his Maisa. So then you, obviously, that's what Shmuel says, that's why you choshin the Safi Drusa. Umar Savar says, Rav, no! Machmis b'yesusu d'kovdan. The reason why they are screaming is because they're cowering in fear. They see a lion there, and they're all screaming at the top of the lungs, get the lion out of here! Get the lion, get the heaven out of here.
They're cowering, you said.
They're cowering, right? Exactly. So anyway, that's where the machloikis is between Rav and Shmuel. What's the halach? Omer ha-meymar, hilchus ha-choshin l'safik drusa. Omer there, vashel ha-meymar. Hai d'rav mai, what about Rav? Rav said that ain't choshin l'safik drusa. You're not choishish to Rav's halacha. Amalei, so according to one version, he said, loy shemieli, kaloyma loy svirali. Not that he was saying that I didn't hear of Rav's halacha. I did, but I disagree. I respectfully disagree. And therefore, Ameimar was going with Shmuel, which is not so difficult to understand, because we had a Rashi the other day, the Ameimar was from Ne'edah, and Barry told us that Shmuel was from Ne'edah. So Shmuel and Ameimar, in a sense, were neighbors. So Ameimar was following the psak of his ruv of Ne'edah, of Shmuel. Smile Malay severely. The boy same another pshat, says Ameimar, Hodabe Rav the Gabi de Shmuel. I know that Rav changed his mind, and eventually he agreed with Shmuel that Choshen l'Safik Drusa. How do you know? Tahu Sharkifa the Safik Drusa is the Osalakami de Rav. Rashi says a Sharkifa means a sal, a basket. The basket was full of oifois, shenichnas hanetz b'neiam. See the Rashi, the second line from the top? Just like we had the big corral of Shvarim, where the lion went b'neiam. Here you had a huge cage, I guess, of oifois, and the nets, this sparrow hawk, came among them. Aha, so what was the din now? So eventually the sparrowhawk went on its way, or flew away, flew the coop, and now I have all of these young oifis hanging around. What am I going to do with them? So they brought such a basket full of these live oifis, and they brought it to Rav, and they asked, Rav, what are you going to say? They were presumably hoping that Rav would say, Ein choshen l'safik drusa, and therefore, unless you have, you know, certain strong identification marks, just because the netz was there, forget about it. So Zokti Yimura, they came in front of Rav, but instead of Rav paskening, Shadrinu Lekabed Shmuel, he said, you know what, don't ask me. Go ask Shmuel, he's the right person to ask. And they came in front of Shmuel. And what do you think Shmuel did? He took all of those birds, and he promptly killed all of them. He strangled them. Chotkinu, Vishadinu Benahara. He killed them, and he threw them into the water, into the river. Okay, so that's the first part of the story. We're not finished. The Gemara is going to go into further details. But in the meantime, the Gemara says, what do I see from that? If you're telling me that Rav was still strong on his, was strong with conviction on his original psak, that Ein Choshen Safik Drusa, Lishrinu, why do you say go to Shmuel and ask Shmuel for his opinion? He should have said, Mutalach, Mutalach, nothing to worry about, take it home and enjoy. Elamai Zeitzachos, he changed his mind and he now agreed to Shmuel. So for Eitimor, Elamai Hodebe Itaka agrees now to Shmuel. So why do you say send it to Shmuel, Lishrinu? Let him go and say it's Aser, because I hold like Shmuel now. I became a convert to Baal Tshuva, to Shmuel's halacha, and I hold that Choshen L'Safik Drusa. So why did he have to send it to Shmuel? So Gemara, and therefore, you have no raya one way or the other that he changed his mind. The reason why he didn't want to paskin on himself, because we were in Nehedah or in another town where Shmuel's psak always reigns. In other words, you had in the Haim in Europe, when a Ruv was a Ruv of a major city, it would say also v'haglilais, right? It would say, av bezen kil gedoysha minkach v'haglilais. Glilais means all the suburbs, all the surrounding towns and villages, which were, in a sense, subservient to the larger city. So, even if it wasn't Ne'edor itself, it was a klein tanachu, one second, near Ne'edor, and Shmuel's psak reigned in all of those places, and so therefore Rav didn't want to go and do something against the Ruv. But it's not only because of the fact, the respect that he was showing to Shmuel as the Ruv. It's also, we have halacha, that in a place where the minhag and the halacha is oisrin, even if you are relying on a major poisik that said that it's mutter, don't go and show around your heter in front of people that are asring, because by doing so, you weaken their resolve to follow the halacha of their own Ruv or their own minhag hamokim. So therefore, said Rav, I'm not the Ruv here, Shmuel is, send it to Shmuel. Rav, you have a question? No? No question?
Rav and Shmuel,
Rav is there, and Shmuel the mom.
Rav, if you're asking a question, I can't hear it, so you must be on mute or something. Even though it doesn't look like you're on mute, but I don't hear any question.
So here, you should look on going to Rav and Isser.
Right, but does that apply
maybe
everywhere?
Maybe there was a later subsequent.
Does that apply everywhere? I mean, in the Makom of Shmuel, clearly you couldn't rely on Rav and Isser of a Heter, because Rav's Heter didn't extend to Shmuel's area.
Robert, I'm sorry we don't hear a word that you're asking. I'm sure you're asking very good questions, as you always do, but we can't hear you. Shmakalena. So let's continue on. Zukti Yimara is a bazoi elaser de Shmuelab. Fine. So now we said the second teret, why a Maimer paskind like Shmuel, not like Rav, because he said that Rav changed his mind. Says Yimara, you have no rai that he changed his mind. Could be that he's still holding straight. So that's why you have to go on to the first teret and not to the second teret. Now Zukti Yimara Vaita, let me understand what Shmuel did. Lomali lemechnakinu. Why did he have to first choke and kill the oifis? Lishdinu hachminara. Why don't you just go and throw the oifis away into the nar and say, don't use these chevra because they're safik drusa, choshen safik drusa, and just throw them into the river. So Timura, because he was concerned, mefarchan, the sulkan. You just throw them labid dikahait when they're still alive into the river. You know, many of them, if not most of them, are going to say, I'm not interested in living here in the river, and they're just going to fly away. So what's the problem if they fly away? Says Rashi, and they'll be caught by
poison
is one thing, but more than that, I'm concerned that Jews are going to go and buy it, and they're going to eat it, and eating now treifa. Why didn't Shmuel say? Apparently he holds that treifa ain't a chaya, but it can live up to 12 months, so let's go and check it out. Let's put them all in some pen somewhere, and wait for 12 months. If at the end of 12 months they're still alive, it's a siman that they were not nidrasu. And if we find that they're all falling like flies, that's a siman that they were a drusa. Says Imar, the idea is a great idea if you're talking about one bird. But here you're talking about 5, 10, 20 birds. Asbuli de takola. If it's going to be a takola that somebody during the year is not going to realize, he's going to just see a big cage full of birds, he figures, that look like kosher birds, you know, he's going to take a bird, he's going to eat it, without realizing, oh, yeah, yeah, maybe he had a tray for bird. Since we have a chash, that maybe the tray, so don't let the Jews eat it, go and sell it to the goyim. Because the goyim, they're going to buy it, they might be wholesalers, and then they're going to retail sell it to the Jews. And not only that, they're going to go and give a certificate that they bought it from Shmuel. Oh, Shmuel, they're going to charge double the price. I now have Shmuel's birds. Instead of choking them and throwing them into the water, into the river, why don't you just throw them into the garbage? Who needs the river? Let me ask you another question. Why are you asking about Ashpa over the river? Why don't you go and say, just give them to the club? Because the club is allowed to eat treifa. So, Shmuel wanted to tell people to mimafarsim the halacha, that any time you have a shayla about a suffik drusa, not like Rav that says, ain choshin, you are choshish after all. Because people that are going to come down to the river, either to do fishing, or to do swimming, or to do laundry, or whatever, the river was a popular place that people would go to. Hey, what are all these birds over here? What's going on? The third birds are going upstream and downstream. What's Tzitzotu? Oh, Shmuel did it. Why did Shmuel do it? It's going to become the talk of the town, and it's going to be a Pirsan Milza D.E. Surah. Talk to you about it. Now, who Bar Avza? Bar Avza is a duck. The Havabi Ravashi, that originally was in the home of Ravashi, and Ol Lebeine Kanya, and now it went in between a whole bunch of reeds. Nofik Osa, subsequently it came out from the reeds, in other words, it must have been a marsh where you have a lot of reeds. He comes out, and we see Kimemasmis Kue Dama, that the whole neck area is full of dam. And we say to ourselves, uh-oh, what happened? Amravashi, loyamrinan. Loyamrinan, we're asking rhetorically with a lush bitmia. Loyamrinan, suffik kalba, suffik shunra, aimer kalba. Like we said in the Omer Aleph, if we know that this animal has been nidras, but I don't know whether it was nidras from a shunra, from a cat, or from a keller, from a dog, we said we are somech lekula, and we'll assume that it was a dog. And we said in the Omer Aleph, a dog doesn't have a din of drisa. Hachanami, here too, will be soymech lekula. Sofek kanya, sofek shunra, emir kanya machya. You have a shayla, what caused the damage to this duck? It could have been a shunra, it could be that there was a cat roaming around, but it could just easily be that it was these kanim, which are razor sharp, and just going against one of these razor sharp kanim. That's what caused all this bloody mess. Since I don't know, I'm going to be soymech lekula. Amri b'nei Rabchia. Drusa she'omru tzricha bedika kenegi b'nei mayayin. Once you have decided that yes, this is a drusa, doesn't mean that it's automatically treif. It requires now a bedika. Now where's the bedika? It has to be b'nei mayayin. Now exactly how do you define the word b'nei mayayin over here? So Rashi says tzricha livdoik. You see Rashi, it's about a line or two higher than where we are in the Gemara. Tzricha livdoik gaba. You have to check its back. Ukraisa, the front, the belly area, the tzidea, the flank in the side. Pachosha, keneged, b'nei me'ayim, anything in that area which are parallel to or facing the b'nei me'ayim, the innards inside. Vimhemed ha'adim sham basar, if you see that any of the flesh in any of these spots has gotten reddened, reddish, oh, zo eres v'treifa. That is the eres, that is the venom of these predator animals. And therefore it's treif. Why? Even though at the moment it's still living and going and coming. Eventually there's going to be this venom will spread. It's going to attack the behemoth, and the behemoth therefore is a treif already from now. If you see that there is no reddishness anywhere, in any of these places, the gaba, the kresa, as we just described, that's it. Typically, it doesn't be doidus anywhere else, only in those areas. So now the Gemara wants to ask, what about around the neck area, specifically the two simonim, the kona and the veshit? So that's what the Gemara is going to address. Again, Amri b'nei Rabchia, drusus shomet zrichat b'dika, k'nei b'nei me'ayim, like we learned the Rashi. Omri v'yosef habnei Rabchia, kvar pirshe shmur. B'nei Rabchia shkoyech, for telling us the halach, we should know Shmuel already preceded you. D'yom Shmuel mishum Rabchanina ben Atignois, drusus shomet zrichat b'dika, k'nei b'nei me'ayim. Notice this lashon of the Gemara, where Rav Yosef says, this halach b'nei Rabchia is taki givaldik, but you should know it already has a precedent, Shmuel already paskin that. The reason I'm pointing this out, because the Gemara is going to use that same expression three more times, as you will see shortly. This boy Ilfa, yesh drusel simonim, ain drusel simonim. Do you have to worry about the simonim? Again, the kona and the veshit, that there too, maybe the animal grabbed hold in that area of the neck and caused a drisa. Amrib Zera, this kasha that you just asked, now kvar pisha is already explained a long time ago. Rav Chanan bar Rava, the Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav, Trusa she Amar Tzricha B'dik Gnei Meisacholol Kulay, Va'afilu V'simanu, Simanu too, yeah. Taka, not only the Gaba and the Kresa, like Rashi enumerated before, but even the Simanim, you have to be Boitik. New Shaila, now this has nothing to do with the Trusa, but again, it's that same style where Rav Zeir is going to say, the question that you asked was already, Boy Ilfa, Simanim she Nedaldalu Bekama. The dalgul means that the two simonim, the kona and the veshit, they got dislocated from the jaw of the animal, but not fully, only partially. So how much does it need to be dislocated that it should have a status of a treif? Amrim zeira, hada by ilfa kvar pisha, rama b'chana. See the same lashon. That ilfa asked, rama b'chana already paskin this a while ago. Rama b'chana b'shmul, simonim shen dalgul b'ruban. If roiv of it is ne'ekar, not only is a treif, it also have a din of nevela, then, because of roiv of it. But however, if roiv is still in its place, even though there are parts of the kona and veshit which are dislocated, as long as it's less than roiv, it's still okay. Boy Rav Ami, hamas mosa mahu. The vos mein hamas mosa. Rashi says, ki goin shedorsa biyerach. Rashi is parallel to our Gemara. Hamas mosa mahu ki goin dorsa biyerach. Yerach meaning on the thigh. That shaloi kineger acholol. Ra'inu, and our Rashi says shenikev, but you'll see in the Bach, he changes it shenirkav. Rekev nirkav means that it decayed. And in fact, we're going to talk about that in the Gemara momentarily, that as a result of the drisa and the yerach, you know what happened? That basar that was on the yerach decayed, le'achar zman. Not immediately, a week later, a month later, 3 months later. Now, do you say that that's also a simon of drusa? It didn't get red. It wasn't connected by the ayim. It was on the yerach. I want to know what's the status. Lagabe drusa yod finished. So zok for yimara. That was the shaila. Hamas masamau. Am Reb Zeir. Ah, hadabay rabami kvapish Rav Yehuda. The mevira marab the drusa achiyadim basa connected by the ayim. And what was the story over here? Says Rashi connected by the ayim afilu behedima, and therefore this would also be included. That would be lagabe drusa. Nismas mesa basar. That's a hamas masa. Hamas masa means that the basar began to decay. Royin oisek ilu einai. You look upon that decayed flesh as if it no longer exists. In other words, cut it away and see the fresh flesh underneath. And the fresh flesh underneath is still good and fine, and there's no blood and so yehedim. Then it's kosher. Zokti Mora, hey chidam nismasmes, can you give me an example of decaying flesh? I'm a huda rabbi Yeshua, boy, can I give you an example. Kosha roife gordoi umamide abosar chai. If you were to take this animal to a doctor, to a veterinarian, and he sees this decayed flesh, he goes and takes out a scalpel and he cuts away all of that decayed flesh, and now you see the live flesh underneath. That's what we mean by hamas masa. Om ravashi ki avinu meir av kahana. I remember a famous story. We came to the Beis Medrash of Kahana, Aisa Kaman Hahi Reya. They brought in a Reya, a lungs of an animal. The Chavi Meisvala Yos V'Shapir. If you put it down, you put it as a prop on top of the table, it sat very nicely and gently, no problem. However, if they picked it up from the table, Now we are goyris what it says in the parentheses. Have a tolcha the nafla tilchi tilchi. Ganze sticker, pieces of flesh from the rea fell off and fell down. So when it was on the table, it was nice and gishmak. But you picked it up, all of a sudden, starts falling off. So that's decayed flesh, and that's like the hamas masa, trifnala, medavuna beredu Yeshua. And therefore we said that it's treif, just like Vun Rebbe Yeshua said before, that by hamas masa, then it would be treif. Rav Nachman Omar, bekoitz achi tenokav lechalal. When we're talking about a koitz, you find a koitz in an animal. Koitz, of course, is a thorn. So you have to see what damage did it do. The fact that the koitz is protruding from the outside skin or flesh of the animal does the gunish. It's got to make a nekiv into the cholol, into the cavity, the open cavity of the animal, because if it goes into the cavity, says Rashi, then maybe it continues on and makes a hole in the dakin, in the intestines, or the keres, or these other places that we spoke about in the Mishnah, that if you have a nekiv, even the koshu, it becomes treif. But that's but make sure that it's tinok of the cholol. Outside is gunish. But drusa, what's the simen drusa? Mishiyad the basa kaneg meyayin, like we said before, that the basa becomes reddened, reddish. That basa that is facing the name meyayim at the moment, b'nei meyayim are still okay, but the venom will travel and will cause possible damage to the name meyayim. We'll see that shortly. Razvid masni hachi, bedrusa mishiyadim, basa kaneg meyayim, like we just said now. But there it's not enough that the outside neck area, which is surrounding the two simonim, the kuna and the vesha, that those become odom, they become red, it's going to be the simonim atzman. If those become reddened, then you got a shayla vedrusa. Omra papi, boy rabbi bibarabai, just two more lines of boysai, don't be nervous. Veshet nekuvasi mamashu, we know from our Mishnah by veshet, the smallest hole. It makes the animal treif. Same thing, drusas mamashu. The drusa on one of the veshut, even though there's no hole there, but it's reddened, oh, then drusas mamashu. Kana, we had in the Mishnah kuvase biki iser. In our Mishnah, we said it's beroif. But remember, the Gemara said biki iser, and it depended on whether it was a chisorin or no chisorin.
Flap.
I'm sorry?
It was like a flap.
Like a flap, okay. There's the bottom, the Mishnah over here on the bottom. Discusses the din of that it had to be, if it was missing, then the shayla is a shir kisser. You see, if you look, starting the beginning of the Mishnah on the bottom, veilik sheres bebehima nikva hagageres oishin nistika at kamati chaser. How far can it still be chas and still be kosher? So shem gamliloima at ki isser italki until the shat. So once it's an isser or more, you're in trouble. At ki isser italki is okay. So back on the top of the Gemara, kana nikuvasa be kisser, like that Mishnah. Drusas bekama. What is the shayla? What's the halacha l'gabi drusa? Is it ulta shir ki iser or not? But the bai heard the pasha after he asked the question, he was poishit. Echad zeh v'echad zeh. Both the kana and the veishit, the shir is b'mashu. My time. What's the reason? Why don't you say bekana? It's got to be like a ki iser. After more, because it is ziare mikla koli v'ozel. That ziare, this venom, this bacteria, will travel. It doesn't all affect it on the spot. But just the fact that it already punctured and made a hole, it's going to keep on traveling. The venom will keep on seeping into the animal, and eventually this animal will die as a result of this venom, and therefore has a din of a treifa.